blinded by her own need. She is so naive as to believe that her sweet child will grow out of it and become a wonderful person. She thinks, just give him a little more love and a little more time. He doesn't understand yet. True love is ignoring your needs and doing what is good for the child. If a mother should smother her baby while possessively kissing him, she has not loved him. Her own anger may cause her to distrust her motives in corporal chastisement. See Chapter 3, Parental Anger. Then again, her fears may go back to the memory of a tyrannical, unreasonable father. She may have vowed, I will never be like my father. I will love my children. They will not fear me the way I feared my father. The father not only hurt her, he is now hurting her children by causing her to react in the opposite extreme. Sometimes a mother's past experience with an angry father will cause her to assume that anyone who spanks a child is angry. She is not in agreement with her husband, the disciplinarian, and their children are well aware of it. When daddy attempts to discipline, they flee to mother for her tender protection. In circumstances like this, the father's discipline will not be effective. The child will grow up with no respect for authority. Mother, it is time to stop reacting to your past associations and start acting as God and sound reason dictate. Some parents fail to use the rod because of peer pressure. They may be in disagreement with their own parents about child training. The modern parent is bombarded with propaganda supposedly based on the latest psychological research, which villainizes biblically-based child rearing. Parents who follow God's pattern of child rearing are shamed in the modern periodicals and must look over their shoulders to see if they are being observed by government goons before applying discipline. Number 4. Understanding the character of God. The mother who refrains from the use of the rod based on the excuse that she loves the child too much to spank him does not understand the character and methods of God toward his own children. There is a twisted perspective that has edged into Christian thinking. It goes something like this. Since God is love, he is not discriminating, demanding, vindictive, or vengeful. Essentially, they view the love of God as incompatible with the justice of God. It seems to them that he must be either one or the other. There is a vague, undefined sense that God was once vengeful, but is now passive, tolerant, and ecumenical, the universal Father. God is stripped of his balanced personality and defined in non-threatening ways. Heaven is well received, hell is suspect. Judge not, the most popular verse in the Bible on this subject, is quoted as if God himself could no longer discriminate between right and wrong. As much as God is love, he is also holy, just, and true. It is out of his love of righteousness that he is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. To choose one side of God's character as a model for our actions while rejecting the other can hardly be called a virtue. God spanks his children. Those who excuse themselves from using the rod by claiming that by doing so they are being righteous are, by inference, condemning God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Hebrews 12:6-8. Then it says, he chastens us for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12:10. This is a most profound statement. God does not have any sons who escape chastisement. All are partakers. And did he stop loving those whom he chastened? Quite the contrary. Love was his motivation for the spanking. Only through chastisement could his sons fully partake in his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Hebrews 12:11. God's chastisement is a painful whipping. Our fathers of flesh chastened us after their own pleasure. Hebrews 12:9-10. The text speaks positively of our earthly fathers, fathers of our flesh, chastening, scourging their children. God promotes it as a means to holiness when administered for the Son's profit. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Hebrews 12:11. God's chastisement is a painful whipping. Our fathers of flesh chastened us after their own pleasure. Hebrews 12:9-10. The text speaks positively of our earthly fathers, fathers of our flesh, chastening, scourging their children. God promotes it as a means to holiness when administered for the Son's profit. The chastisement is represented as a sure sign of love. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If one is not chastened, it is not only an indication of not being loved, but of being a bastard. So we see that it is God's love for us, his sons, that motivates his acts of chastisement. Thus, our original passage in Proverbs 13:24 is substantiated. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If God's love is expressed by the whippings he gives, then can we not also love our children enough to chasten them unto holiness? I can still remember once hearing a rebellious teenager say, "If they only loved me enough to whip me," what an indictment on his parents.